You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
By the coast of Coromandel, in search of Edward Lear, by Lavinia Murray.
It's useless, Polly. You'll never be entirely fluent in feline.
Why don't you try, Mr. Lear?
Meow, meow. Malbro, meow.
Cats mean something when they meow. We're just making cat-shaped noises.
Well, oddly enough, Polly, most people presume that both parrots and nonsense mean nothing. Although, initially, it sounds as if they might.
Oh, cruel world to be so misunderstood. I also have to contend with the threat of extinction.
I'm going to kill you.
Well, I always understood my old Foss cat. Genuine comprehension passed between us.
So Foss still hasn't turned up, despite your offer of some perpendicular pill charge?
No. First his tail went. Now the dark woods have swallowed up the rest of him. Why don't they visit?
They'll have forgotten how to make their way back to you. That's why the postal system is so popular. A third party familiarizes themselves with the area of uncertainty in between.
My mother had 21 babies and she failed to recollect me, even when prompted. Yet I knew her. I never screamed when she approached.
There you are, then.
What should I call my, inklings collectively?
Friends?
Friends? No. I have a quantity of friends who lack distinctive outlines.
Brood? Depictions?
Creations? Quidnuncs? Nobodaddies? Homunculi? Children?
Creatures?
Creatures? Creatures? Oh, blue! There it is again.
What is?
My nose is in the line of my sight. It's like the Great Wall of China.
Is that visible from here?
Yes. Over to the left. Otherwise, we'd have a clear view of the Ottoman Empire. I must find my creatures. They're all I am. You imitate their voices with varying success, but it's a sybaritic substitute.
I do my best. Remember, I'm also being threatened with extinction.
I'm going to kill you!
You and whose army?
Have a word with Wellington if there's any trouble. Or, if your man's operating from the lake, give Nelson a nod.
I might just do that. So, advertise for your creatures. Write to them, arrange to meet.
How? My spelling is capricious. I don't create words by weights and measures, but by scoops, handshakes, and congenial pinches. What to do? What to do? Ah, I know!
He knows!
Not my nose! I'll send them a semaphore. That's flags, not alphabetering.
Where will you get flags?
From the Admiral. Ahoy! Salty old flags! Jack Tsar! Grog Russian! Ah, little scurvy knave! Very pretty pigtail! Here we are, let me just shake the fish out of them!
Someone is sending us a semaphore! What does it say, Foss?
Please ask me a question.
I did.
Lady Jingle Jones, the semaphore says, please ask me a question.
Who's it from? They usually say, unless it's a poison pennant letter.
Wait a moment. Oh, I think it's from... Fear.
Fear? Perhaps we'd better hide.
Oh, my mistake, Lady Jingle Jones. It's Lear, not Fear.
Oh, Mr. Lear. Has he thought up more adventures for us?
He doesn't say. Let's ponder what we know about Mr. Lear.
Oh, they say, know thyself.
Yes.
Let's say who we are first. Then we're on solid ground.
I am Foss, Mr. Lear's cat. I have stories and no tale.
I'm Owl, a musical fowl.
I'm Lady Jingly Jones, who was courted by a suitor with a very big face and a very small hat.
I'm the umbrageous umbrella maker. I make shade from lemonade.
I'm the scroobiest snake. I have fangs and venomade, but I never crush or constrict, so there's little danger that someone will turn me into a pair of shoes.
We need to summon the rest of our company. I'll sound a conscience. Mr. Lear's assemblages, sketches, nonsensical mirages, marginalia, doodles, drawings, illustrations, and literary, bittery, facsimile folk, come here! Are we all assembled?
How can we answer for those we've never met? They might still be missing.
You said that?
Girogio Corcalli, Mr. Lear's manservant.
Why aren't you with him now?
It's my day off.
Do you know where he is?
No. Only where I left him.
Oh. Mr. Lear, the facts. He was born as a baby and then again as a lithograph. It was around the time that the Quangle Wangle was created from a piece of shadow left over from his aunt's fireside torpor.
And the years haven't changed me. Squeeze my arm. That's genuine torpor, that is.
Now, what did Mr. Lear see with his infantine eyes?
Did he see us?
Yes, but only in the way we sometimes glimpse our eyelashes.
Try that door. Is it Highgate many years previously?
Yes, you can tell because the weather is passé.
Go on through. Keep formation.
There once was a baby of Highgate who ate peas from a spherical plate. He said, I have found that the earth is quite round, so I state my belief with my plate.
I thought Mr. Lear was born in Holloway.
What rhymes with Holloway?
Go away. Lack-a-day, sad to say, more to pay.
Exactly. So Mr. Lear was born in Highgate. Ungulate, plumondate, buttonbait, oscillate.
But the jumblies were part of his infancy.
Jumblies? Are there any left in the vicinity?
Green heads, blue hands. They should be obvious. What's that piece of paper you're perusing, Lady Jingly Jones?
A list of purchases made during the Jumblies' voyage. They bought a monkey with lollipop paws, and an owl, and a useful cranberry tart.
They bought an owl?
Oh, according to this.
What kind of owl did they buy? What sort offers itself for purchase?
The kind that hasn't anywhere to sit.
Purchase.
In my opinion, somebody trod on the English language whilst it was still soft.
But what kind of an owl did they buy?
One with the price tag.
Hello?
Who are you?
Who are you?
I'm the last Jumbly in Highgate. I was of the company that ventured forth in a sieve.
When the water came in, we wrapped our feet in pinky paper and fastened it down with a pin. I've even kept my coppery gong from the voyage. Ooh. Listen. My gong works the moonlight loose and down it falls like a timorous tarpaulin.
Oh, Nelson won't like that.
Out here comes.
Evening, Admiral.
He's got something in his hand. He's fired a warning fruit through the door.
We'll fight them with some peaches.
He's a lot smaller than you'd expect.
The gong's annoyed a neighbour. Poor Quangle's been hit by summer fruit.
Oh, first it was citrus, now it's succulent. Oh, help me, help me.
Take your head out of my shoes. You'll spoil their fit.
Please, go on with your story, Jumbly Girl.
Some of the Jumblies kept exclaiming, "How wise we are." And the rest of us felt very silly. We landed at Eve by the Zemery Fid, and I became romantically enamelled with an inhabitant.
Oh, that's all very well, but do you know where Mr. Lear went? Oh.
The Morbids made off with him. They bind their heads with turbulence to keep space out. They stopped him from building circles, a thing he was most fond of doing. And they sent him to a horrible school where they ran a line of chalk through his veins till his chalk-dusty heart wobbled like a loose milk tooth. Afterwards, his sister Anne looked after him. She was 21 years his senior. When the Morbids fell ill, they naturally came down with morbid illnesses. Mr. Lear made a little money by drawing their symptoms for doctors at the local hospital. That spring, the zoological gardens opened in Regent's Park, and Mr. Lear applied for permission to draw the parrots.
Were they ill?
Not at all. The market for illustrations of the sick simply never recovered.
Regent's Park Zoo! We must go there and speak to the parrots!
Hello,
parrots! Where are you?
We're up here, in the Sofsky-Posky trees, which are covered in blue leaves.
Blue leaves?
Yeah, well, comparatively speaking, yeah.
Blue leaves?
If you count the blue sky between as part of the trees.
We are looking for Mr. Lear.
Is that a snake? Is that a snake called around a large top hat? We don't like snakes, even in a modicum of evening dress.
The only sin is slurring.
Now, keep your distance and we shall keep our apathy.
Such prejudice against geometric zoology.
Mr. Lear came to our enclosure where there were 65 of us sitting on a rail, all of us a row and fast asleep. I am sorry to say that Mr. Lear fetched two guests with him, the pussycat and the quangle wangle, and they beat off our tails.
Boss! Quangle wangle! Is this true?
Mr. Lear put us up to it. He wanted them so Miss Bethel could decorate her half a sense of humour.
Why?
Because it was so plain as to go unnoticed in company.
Yeah, but the patron of the zoo, Lord Stanley, was impressed with Mr. Lear's portraits. They looked as if he dropped a sheet of paper between us and the branches and somehow flattened us without making a mess. Mr. Lear went to stay at Knowsley Hall, Lord Stanley's stately home just outside Liverpool.
Liverpool?
How do we get to Liverpool?
By moving from our present position.
We could take the C train.
I never imagined they could lay tracks on top of the sea. How is it done?
Iron is taught to swim at the foundry.
Are we nearly there yet?
I'm feeling poorly.
Oh, you've got sea stroke, Miss Snake. It's like sunstroke, only it comes in waves.
Is there anything I can take for it?
A slice of dry land in some cordial. Here. Oh, look! It's one of the boys that became a speckled trout.
Lady Jingly Jones, how can you tell they're not ordinary speckled trout?
Because
They are playing at Conkers.
F was once a little fish, fishy, wishy, squishy, fishy. Ahoy!
Yow! Hello, exorbitant inhabitants of water.
I am the fizz-giggiest fish who always walks about on stilts. I'm on very tall stilts now. I ain't swimming, in case you thought I was.
I have no legs either, but I hire myself out as a bootlace. Oh, a ship.
It belongs to the four little children who went round the world. They're going around again because they couldn't be sure they'd return to their starting point. They didn't want to be known as the four little children who almost went round the world, but not quite.
What are their names?
Violet, Lionel, Slingsby and Guy. Violet has a churn that she fills with salt water, while her three brothers agitate it violently, and so sometimes they have butter. But usually not.
I can't see any children from here.
You won't. They're all asleep in the kettle.
What if one of them should want tea?
It would be got at a great inconvenience of the others.
Have you seen Mr. Lear recently?
Couldn't say. My eyes have been deceiving me.
What do you mean?
When I woke up yesterday, I couldn't believe my eyes.
When I'm lost, I always look in a mirror. If you see one familiar thing, you always find others.
But we have to find Mr. Lear.
Why?
Because without him, we are in danger of becoming ordinary and having to work as seamstresses or fish suppers. Mr. Lear is the measure of nonsense. As an horse is measured in hands and dinner is measured in digestions, so nonsense is the breadth of Mr. Lear's nostrils.
Oh, here's Liverpool. We've arrived by a fairly pleasant diversion.
It was here at Lord Stanley's great house and zoological garden at Knowsley Hall that Mr. Lear painted trogons and
dragons. This is also where he was introduced to the limerick.
This is where Mr. Lear met the limerick.
Imagine the meeting. Mr. Lear, this is limerick. Limerick, this is Mr. Lear.
Oh, miss me.
Then a furious shaking of hands.
Oh, what's a limerick?
It is a poem comprising of one verse.
It can be seen as both blessing and curse.
The rhyming scheme's these, two couplets reprise of the line that first started the verse.
Oh, somebody's standing at the window on the fourth story.
Who is it?
A malicious little boy in rose-coloured knickerbockers.
Hello! He's jumped down!
I wouldn't attract more attention if I was you.
You wouldn't?
No.
Why not?
Because I throw pumpkins. I'm reenacting Nelson's famous victory. You can be French if you bought yourself cheeses.
Is there anyone more affectionate at home?
No! I'm a sunbeam by comparison.
We are looking for Mr. Lear.
You're looking for Mr. Clear? Well, you're in luck. It's gone.
No, Mr. Lear.
Oh, Mr. Lear. He was even better than pudding. He came here to draw the parrots, but he drew children as well. Oh, yes, he was talented. He was popular. He was loved. But he wasn't one of us. Hey, wait a minute. Turn around, cat. You've lost your tail. You've only 7 tins.
I'm all there was room for. The tail was excess.
My house is 4 of Mr. Lear's story told. 1, the history of the 7 families of the Lake Pipplepopple. 2, the landscape painter and the enraged Mouflon. 3, Miss Maniac. 4, the acorn of Swat.
Who or why or which or what is the acorn of Swat? Is he tall or dark or short or fair? Does he sit on a stool or sofa or chair? Or squat? The acorn of Swat.
Is he wise or foolish or young or old? Does he drink his soup and his coffee cold or hot? The acorn of Swat. Does he sing, or whistle, or jabble, or talk? And when riding abroad, does he gallop, or walk? Or trot, the Acond of Sword?
Do his people like him extremely well? Or do they, whenever they can, rebel?
Or plot,
the Acond of Sword?
If he catches them, either old or young, does he have them chopped up in pieces or hung or shot? The Acorn of Swat.
At night, if he suddenly screams and wakes, do they bring him only a few small cakes or a lot? The Acorn of Swat.
Someone or nobody knows I want.
Who or which? Or why, or what, is the Acorn of Swat?
Which door is that?
The one I jumped down from.
Do you know? I have just realized the Acorn of Swat is Mr. Lear.
How did you come to that conclusion?
Because if he spelt his name differently, the Acorn of Swat would be an anagram. Quick, everyone! He may still be here. Let's run to the fourth story.
It says nobody knows who, why, or what the Acorn of Swat is.
So we're still no nearer.
Let's go through this door to the ocean's edge. Now, quickly now, keep together.
Oh, did you see that?
No, I saw the other.
A lot of small animated things came out of that sapling door and then went through the next one along.
Maybe it's fungi. There's a type that forages.
No, these little beings didn't have the faceless menace of mushrooms. I wish I were wearing my looking at small things in dappled light glasses.
Why? What sort have you got on?
Oh, my travelling spectacles. They're currently traversing Rome. Let's look through the door.
Oh! It's a life class!
Everyone seems very familiar. They're all young ladies.
And a life model. It's you!
Ladies, observe. Mr. Lear. His nose is remarkably big.
Yes.
His visage is more or less hideous. His beard,
it resembles a wig.
His body is perfectly spherical. Now, Mr. Lear, please pose as an ardent suitor.
When Mr. Lear sat down on one knee, we ladies and...
After our voyage in the pea green boat, with a quantity of honey, money, a small guitar, and a sore throat, which the honey helped alleviate from continuously singing across 2,000 miles of open sea, Pussycat and I stayed for more than a month on the coast of the Coromandel. We lived with Lady Jingly Jones in this rocky cave.
Spacious. Does it get cold in winter?
No. The ice never falls below 60 degrees Fahrenheit. However, the ice cream is a disappointment.
One morning, Lady Jingly Jones happened to comment.
Oh, Foss is pupating. Her legs have vanished. Her head is indistinct.
A pupating cat? That's unusual, even abroad.
Foss, if I sing to a small guitar, will you forego metamorphosis?
Do you think things physiological could be affected by strings musicological?
Let's find out. Oh, lovely pupa, oh, pupa, my love. What a beautiful pupa you are, you are. What a beautiful pupa you are.
I believe Pussycat is demonstrating a stubborn resistance to the enchantment of music.
What shall we do, Lady Jingly Jones?
I'll summon the umbrageous umbrella maker.
Why? It's not raining.
Exactly. He won't be too busy to come.
How will you summon him?
I'll commit an inclement act.
I am the umbrageous umbrella maker whose face nobody ever sees because it is always covered by my umbrella.
Or will you stand and cast a little runcible shade over Foss the pussycat?
She may think night has come and rise to go prowling.
I shall bend and stroke her coat in the waxical manner a moonbeam might. Oh, she feels like custard pudding.
I needed to reconsider how we might find Mr. Lear, since my initial explorations haven't led us to him.
The last time I glimpsed Mr. Lear between my spokes, which, observe, are assembled like the lines of platitude. He had sat to watch the sunset sky and to hear the nuppeter pipkin cry and the biscuit buffalo call. By his indelible angle, I believed Mr. Lear to be on the point of trailing off.
His demon will have woken!
Did he have it monogrammed along with his blankets?
A demon is not as convertible as a dog. They don't retrieve sticks or beg titbits from the table.
We need funds for an expedition. Hmm. Now, when we arrived, we had plenty of money wrapped up in a £5 note. What happened to the remainder?
Who knows?
Are there pebbles in your sound box?
Of course not.
Or plectrons?
I have natural talents.
Then what's that rattling?
How did that get there?
If you'd invested it, you'd have considerable interest by now.
I did. I invested it in my small guitar so there'd be considerable interest in my music.
Pass me a broom handle to suck whilst I sink.
The broom handle is made from an unpleasantly poisonous wood, Miss Foss.
This broom handle comes from the part of the dark woods where Mr. Lear wanders when he is lost. I'm hoping that the taste for it will turn it into words for it. Then we can look it up on a timetable.
Wouldn't a map be more helpful?
What's the use of finding somewhere then discovering there's no train to be had?
I have a map made entirely of flavour.
Why?
We snakes prefer tastes to geographical features.
And you never consult timetables?
Times tables? Certainly not. They lead to multiplication and thence to overcrowding.
Got it!
You've realised where he is?
No, I have got a splinter in my tongue.
You've got a splinter in your tongue?
Yes.
I'll get it out. My tongue's forked like tweezers. Hold up the brim of my hat.
You won't bite him, will you?
What do you think?
Splinter's bigger than the broom handle you were sucking.
Wood swells when it's wet. Anyway, I couldn't find a word from Mr. Lear's whereabouts, but I do have a direction.
You do?
Yes, it's north by north-south.
Well, perhaps I could take this opportunity to tell my story. Mr. Umbrella Maker, would you read from my prepared notes?
Of course, Lady Jingly Jones.
Is this about me?
Who said that?
I did. I'm the Yongy Bongy Bo. It's about me, isn't it, Lady Jingly Jones?
Yes. The facts are accurate, but you may disagree with the interpretation.
Coast of Caramanda, where the early pumpkins blow, in the middle of the woods lived the Yongy Bongy Bo.
Two old chairs and half a candle, one old jug without a handle. These are all the worldly goods of the Yongy Bongy Bo.
Once among the bong trees walking where the early pumpkins blow, to a little heap of stones came the Yongy Bongy.
quite fond of walking. 'Tis the Lady Jingly Jones on that little heap of stones. Lady Jingly,
Lady Jingly,
Lady Jingly,
Lady Jingly, Lady Jingly.
Sitting where the pumpkins blow, will you come and be my wife?
Said the Yongy Bongy Bell.
I am tired of living singly on this coat so wild and shingly.
Lady Jingly answered sadly, and her tears began to flow.
Your proposal comes too late, Mr. Yongy Bongy Bow. I would be your wife most gladly. Here I twirl my fingers madly, but in England I've a mate. Will you please to go away? That is all I have to say, Mr. Yongy Bongy Bow. Mr. Yongy Bongy Bow. Mr. Yongy Bongy Bow. Mr. Yongy Bongy Bow.
I know where we are. I've hidden umbrellas in the folds of these hills. We're on the great Rambouillet Plain. And over there, obscured by the Great Wall of China, are the hills of the Changli Boar. Through the vast and gloomy dark, there moves what seems a fiery spark, a meteor strange and bright. And hither and thither the vision strays, a single lurid light. The wandering dong through the forest goes. The dong, with a luminous nose.
Long years ago, the dong was happy and gay, till he fell in love with me, a jumbly girl who came to those shores one day. Happily, happily passed those days while the cheerful jumblies stayed. We dance in circlets all night long to the plaintive pipe of the lively dong, in moonlight shine or shade.
In moonlight shine or shade.
For a day and night he was always there by the side of a jumbly girl so fair, with a sky blue hands and a sea green hair.
With a sky blue hands and sea green hair.
Till the morning came of that hateful day when we jumbly sailed in our sieve away, and the tongue was left on the cruel shore, gazing, gazing forevermore.
But when the sun was low in the west, he gathered the bark of the twankum tree on the flowery plain that grows, and he wove him a wondrous nose. A nose as strange as a nose could be, of vast proportions and painted red.
And tied with the cords to the back of his head, and a hollow round his base it ended, with a luminous light within suspended, all fenced about with a bandage stout to prevent the wind from blowing it out.
To prevent the wind from blowing it out.
With holes all around to send the light in gleaming rays on the dismal night.
And now each night and all night long, over those plains still roams the dong, while ever he seeks, but seeks in vain, to meet with his jumbly girl again. Lonely and wild all night he goes.
I think it's on the point of guttering.
And the strings worked loose.
I think he's about to sneeze and lose his nefarious unorthodoxy.
Life is all about diversity. There is so much to recommend being one's own twin. That's why I always have seconds at dinner.
How can one be one's own twin?
You said, how can one be one's own twin? That's two ones making two. Mathematics is reflective, Lady Jingly Jones. He is his own twin, thanks to the bulk of reason.
I also have a dual passport, double chins, and can divide my attention. And there's the habit I have of repeating myself. I've repeat myself habitually.
We were told your arch is broken.
It is in two. Now, I am looking for a consignment of four children.
You don't mean the four children who sailed around the world? Violet, Guy, Slingsby and Lyle?
Yes!
We've seen their ship.
And we are looking for Mr. Lear.
You don't mean Mr. Lear. Yes. His breath blew the sieve in which my jumbly girl first traveled to these shores.
We met the jumbly girl in Highgate.
Was she still wearing pinky paper shoes fastened with pins?
She was, and leaving a little trail of pinky tatters across the pavement.
My lovely, littery, jumbly girl!
Dear Mr. Dong, I'm here. What have you done to your nose?
Despite having paper footwear which you could have ridden on, you never wrote.
That's because I live in Highgate, where correspondence is actively discouraged.
Oh, and your blows and grains have faded.
I had them rustically distressed.
Salute of an indigenous Sirriton.
It's the demon! He has lemons in his head! Eating meat is half the battle, till you hear the lemons rattle. If you don't always moan in a lemon-colly tone, for there's nothing quite as dreadful as lemons in your head, folks. He travels in his wisdom boat. He looks for Mr. Lear, and when he finds him... he knocks him down.
Oh, that can hardly recommend him to onlookers.
The demon is in his wisdom vault. He only needs the threat of rain and he's afloat. He is a rhapsody of rearrangement. He'll cancel you to meet a previous appointment.
Oh, that's terribly rude.
I am Mr. Disco Bobulus. Oh. I went with Mr. Lear to India. Mm. I went with him to Hastings. Mm. I went with him to London, Leicestershire and France. I went with him to Albania. I went with him to Greece. I went with him to Ireland, Palestine and Lebanon and Corfu. I went with him to Switzerland, Malta, and Crete, and I rode him along the Dalmatian coast. I went with him to Suez in Italy. I went with him to San Remo in Italy. San Remo in Italy. San Remo in Italy. He went there a good deal and was known as Signor Lira. And there we parted company. From the worry of life, he's fled. Mr. Lear is...
dead?
Climb in my wisdom boat and I'll take you to him. Oh. The cost is 6 pence a head.
Oh. Owl, you have the expedition funds. Please, pay the demon.
Certainly.
Get my foot.
My shoe. My feathers. Right,
don't let me go. You're fully.
Silly creatures! How easily tricked you are! I'm going to row you so far away you'll never find your way back to Mr. Lear, and I can enjoy his undivided attention! You'll be so far into the distance, Mr. Lear will think you're merely punctuation.
How will you get back to him?
In my boat.
Then there's nothing to stop us staying in the boat and returning with you.
There is.
I'll flip you overboard.
But look, there's an admiral gliding towards us on a pillar.
He's holding something in his hand.
Oh, fruit.
Lemons.
No, not citrus again.
Oh, good shot.
Oh,
I do have that.
Eating meat is half the battle till you hear the lemons rattle.
Grab the oars, Quangle Wangle.
Got him.
There's someone waving to us from the bank.
Hello.
I see Nelson's undertaking some fruity manoeuvres.
He's pretty active for his age. The 18th century!
Is it... could it be? Is it my creatures? Yes! And they all wear a look of recognition!
That's not as waterproof as oil skins. And the lake's a bit choppy! Still, if their ink runs, they'll get here all the quicker!
Oh, hello!
My creature!
Mr. Lear!
You wanted us to ask you a question.
I did, yes.
We want to know, do you need us? Are we necessary?
That goes without saying.
Do say it. Say it.
We are
inseparable.
What about me? You've always benefited from our leisurely ambulation along the Grand Mal.
I'm like the limerick. I give shape to thoughts.
There once was a demon who ran in the head of a large bearded man. He'd dance and rejoice on the tip of his voice till the thoughts of the man overran. You are a necessary coeval.
Demon and Neil, pupa and veal. Now we've arrived at the end of our tale.
On the coast of Caramando, where the early pumpkins blow, in the middle of the woods lived the Yongi Bongi Bo.
Two old chairs and half a candy, one old jug without a handle. These are all the
worldly goods of the Yongi Bongi Bo.
The Yongi Bongi Bo.
Once among the bong trees walking where the early pumpkins blow, to a little heap of stones came the Yongi Bongi Bo.
Then I heard a lady talking to some milk white hens of Dorking. Tis the Lady Jingly Jones on that little heap of stones. Lady Jingly.
Lady Jingly.
Lady Jingly.
That's Lady Jingly.
Sitting where the pumpkins blow, will you come and be my wife?
The Yongi Bongi Bo.
I am tired of living singly on this coast so wild and shingly.
Lady Jingly answered sadly, and her tears began to flow.
Your proposal comes too late, Mr. Yongi Bongi Bo. I would be your wife most badly. Here I twirl my fingers madly, but in England I've a mate. Will you please to go away? That is all I have to say, Mr. Yongi Bongi Bo. Mr. Yongi Bongi Bo. Mr. Yongi Bongi Bo. Mr. Yongi Bongi Bo. Mr. Yongi Bongi Bo.